Praise God. First thing I want to do is I want to tell you about some of the things that are going on in Guatemala. Because you get a missionary here, you want to know what's going on, right? Okay. Remember me telling you about the young man with the fire on the volcano? You know, June 3rd, that volcano exploded. And about 300 people were killed from the pyroclastic flows. Of course, they came by the house and said, get ready to evacuate. That's how close we were. But God took care of us. We didn't even get ash. All around us got ash. But we didn't get any problem. God protected us. That's one thing. Another thing that happened, you remember telling you about the little baby that had the bleeding ulcers? He's still doing well. When God heals, it's forever. And the young lady that had the kidneys and they told her, you're not going to live anymore? Go home and die? She's doing fine. You see, our God is a miracle-working God. Not us, but God. And He does things for us. He put the snow on top of the fire volcano to show that young man that He loved him. And He would do almost anything to show us that He loves us. Because He is a miracle-working God. Okay. When I was here last time, did I tell you about Joshua? Did I tell you what God told me to tell the people in the U.S.? Do you remember? You weren't here. Okay. That's okay. I'm not sure this. God told me to tell the people in the U.S. something very important. And I've got a word from God for the people in the U.S. and people for all over the world. And that is, He's going to put the verses on the board. And I don't think I'm going to read them all, but I'm going to let you read them. About Joshua, when the drought, and there was no rain for a long time. And so God told Joshua, I'm going to send rain. And we've all heard over and over and over, revival is coming, revival is coming, revival is coming, revival is coming, revival is coming. So much so that we don't even believe it anymore. Right? Well, Joshua's servant went through the same thing. Elijah. I don't know, my mind's on two different people. Elijah told his servant, go and see if the rain's coming. And, of course, in this analogy, that's like the evangelist coming up and say, hey, it's going to rain. The power of God's going to flow. We're going to have revival. And the next week, it's the same thing. You heard it. And so he says, go and look again. And so the evangelist comes in, and another evangelist, and says, it's going to rain. The power of God's going to flow through this place and going to move upon the earth. And the next week, it's the same thing. And so he keeps going back. And we keep having the evangelist and keep having the people come and say, the power of God's going to flow upon the earth. It's going to be an outpouring greater than ever before. So that we've gotten to the place where we've heard that before. I've heard it before, and I've heard it again, and I hear it again. So much, and this Elijah told him the seventh time. You go, and you look. And you look, and when he went and he looked, there was a little tiny cloud, about the size of a man's hand. Well, that isn't much, is it? And he went, and he come back, and he says, Elijah, there's a little tiny cloud out there. Elijah, of course, he got all excited. But that servant, he looked at that, and he said, it's only the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, you go and you tell the king that revival is coming. You go and tell him. And so he hooked up the horse and he gets in the, and he starts heading down to see the king. Because he really did not believe, he did not go very fast. Do you see where it says that Elijah passed him? And he had the horses. So here's what the church is doing right now. We're saying we've heard it and we've heard it and we've heard it. And now we see a little bit of the presence of God moving. And it's just going to be the same thing. and he wants me to go tell everybody. Go tell him it's coming. God told me before I came up this year, he says, I want you to tell everybody. I want you to tell everybody that I'm getting ready to pour out my spirit. Not like you've heard for the past over and over and over, but I'm telling you, and don't be like the servant of Elijah. I'm telling you, God said, I am getting ready to pour out my spirit upon this people, this earth, now greater than ever before. You've heard about them tell you there's an end time revival coming. There's an end time revival coming. Have you seen what's happening in this world? Do you know that they're about to build that temple and it will only take them a few months when they decide to? What is the time that we're in? And God said, I'm going to pour out of my spirit in the last days. And I'm going to allow the people of the world of every faith is going to touch and going to be felt, feel the presence of God. But that's going to take something to start. Don't be the servant that says, well, I see a little bit. He says, go tell them. God said, you tell them. And I'm here to tell you. God told me. I've read it in the Bible. I've heard it just like you over and over and many years. And I've heard it many years. Brother George, get ready because you're going to be having more than you can handle. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is something that is not for one church. This is something that will happen whether or not we want it or ready or whether or not we're ready for it. It's going to happen. I need to give you the next little thing I'm going to talk about. And it's going to fit together whether you believe it or not. Luke chapter 5. And after Jesus got done preaching to all the people and telling them, okay, we are tired, and there's two ships over there. These guys have been fishing. You know, Peter and James and John, they've been fishing all day. And here's what happened. They hadn't caught any fish. They'd been fishing all night also. And they hadn't caught anything. And they were tired. And their nets were broken. And so they had to fix their nets so they could. And they hadn't made any money. You know, when you're out there fishing, it's for a reason. You're not fishing just for you. They were out there fishing for their income, for their family, for. And they hadn't caught anything. And Jesus, done preaching, walks up and says, can I go out in your boat? Well, he was preaching, and he needed the boat to finish preaching. I should get it right. And they said, yeah. And so he got done preaching, and he says, now take your boat and cast your net out. Oh, we're tired. We just had to put up with you in our boat for while you spoke, and we're just tired. We got to finish fixing these nets. We've got to finish fixing everything. We've got to get ready for the next day. We need to go get some rest. Sound like us, doesn't it? And he says, take and put your net out. And they put the net out. And he says they pulled in greater amount of fish than they'd ever done before. They were amazed. So amazed, they said, hey, James, John, come help. We can't get these fish in. We can't draw our nets. They're too heavy. You see what's going to happen if we understand Jesus spoke and telling us, put out your net. You see, he told us it's coming. Now he's telling us, put out your net and bring it in. Yeah. Who's going to bring it in? We are. And Peter and James and John were not preachers at the time. They were fishermen. They went to work every day, and they worked all day, and they worked all night, and they didn't make a whole lot. Sound like us? And Jesus said, put your nets in. I'm going to. And they pulled in a harvest of fish like they'd never pulled before. And they said that they were amazed. Experienced fishermen were amazed. That's where you come in. Experienced fishermen, you're going to be amazed at what comes in. You understand what I'm saying? This is not my word. This is God's word. And they pulled in. And it says that they were all amazed because God has a plan. And God is not here for 5 or 6 people. A certain group. Just those or just these. Or just us. Don't go to IHOP before you preach. And God's getting ready. And we have to understand, it's going to be our job to pull them in. It's going to be our job to tell them, hey, my God has said. Okay? Don't say, my pastor has said. He might say, but he's supposed to be used by God. And he's telling you what God leads him to tell you. And my God said that this is the last time. This is the 7th time I've looked for the revival. This is the 7th time I've gone out and looked for the cloud. And God said, I am now pouring out the rain. Yesterday on the way back from St. Louis, we come through some rain. I'll tell you what, it rained so hard you couldn't see the car in front of you. But when Joshua said, Elijah said, get ready, because the rain's coming. It's going to be a gully washer. I imagine the rain came like, what in the world? They probably thought more than they could imagine. A gully washer. A few years ago, we had Tropical Storm Agatha come and hit Guatemala, where we were, and it stopped right over the top of us. And in one day, we got 19 inches of rain. I had my Facebook page open, and there were messages popping up as people would say, somebody save me. Somebody save me. I'm stuck out. There was some of the people have cell phones. But there was one of them that was, we're in a bus. We're stuck in the middle of the river. Can somebody come and save us? What we don't know is that's the cry of the world. That's the cry of the people that are around us. Can somebody save me? Can somebody come and touch my heart? Can somebody bring me out of the mess that I'm in? Can somebody take me and help me and put me where God can touch me, where I can be, where I feel peace, where I feel what God wants me to feel, where I know that I'm going to that city. God's moving on us. He's telling us. It's time. It's time. If we don't do it, who will? We who know God can tell them, do you know my Jesus? He's the one that can take you out of your problems. He's the one that can heal you when you're sick. I've seen miracles. Not one or two. I've seen miracles. I've seen swelling leave a face. I've seen ulcers in a 5-month-old baby healed. I've seen a lady who was told that the kidneys were dead. I've seen it. And they live. I've seen it because our God is getting ready to change this world. Why is there such a political division right now? Because the devil knows that this is the time that God is going to move. And he's going to do everything within his power at this time to stop it. He's going to divide. What is the biggest thing that stops people from doing what God wants? It's division. Church starts doing fantastic, and what happens? They have a division. And two groups now are feeling distressed. The devil knows how to do it. And we have to be strong. We have to pray. And we have to say, God, you told me. Don't you ever say, that missionary told me. No. God spoke to me and told me, I need to tell you this. I need to tell the people in the U.S., it's time it's time I'm going to pour out my spirit. It's time for a revival like this world has never seen. And there are places in this world that it has started and it is moving. 300,000 people receiving the Spirit of God in a group. You don't think it's amazing what God's doing? We don't hear it because our news media is run by... Actually, the devil knows where to put key people. Do you know that? He's put key... The Bible says we're not working against spirits of against other people. We're working against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. That's why this is all going on. That's why the U.S. is being torn apart. But we have to understand, we live for a living God. We are in His stead. We are His children. We are His promised heirs. Can you let that sink in for just a minute? Do you know what an heir is? That's when you have a son and you're getting ready to die and he turns it all over to us. Well, our Father did die on a cross and he made us his heirs. And we are the heirs and joint heirs with him in the kingdom of God. You understand? There's more to this than coming to Sunday school. There's more to this than coming to church. This is a life. This is the power of the Almighty God that changes our lives, that moves us along, that motivates us, that touches us, that gives us strength, that gives us healing. Cast out your nets. Cast out your nets. You will draw forth a harvest like never seen before. Especially in our lives. And they pulled it forth. Come and help me. I can't do this alone. That means we work together. Pull this net. Look at all these fish. Look at all these souls. And then he did something. Jesus said, follow me, for I will make you fishers of men. And this is what was amazing. They left all those fish, all that great drought, all that future money, and they followed Jesus, and he made them fishers of men. Now, that doesn't mean that that wasn't telling them that they're going to bring in a great harvest. That was to show them that not only were they going to bring forth a harvest of fish, they were going to bring forth a harvest of men. You see, they could have brought all those fish and took them out and sold them, and Jesus said, follow me. And well, we got to sell our fish first. But no, they knew when he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, that he just showed them the harvest that they were going to bring forth. He showed them the amount of men that they were going to bring forth. And that's what he's showing us. Get ready. I'm going to send the rain. I'm going to send more rain and more power and more presence of God than you've ever seen or felt or heard of before. It's coming. And Pastor George, you're going to be ready. And this church is going to be ready. It's going to take every one of you to support him. Every one of us is going to have to support her. And I'm not saying you don't. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying it's going to take all of us. And God's going to move, and there are going to be healings. And it's not going to take somebody to come up and say, touch this person. You know, you've heard that before. God's going to heal in the middle of the preaching. God's going to heal in the middle of the song service. God's going to heal in the house over there and in the house over there. Because this is the end time. This is the time that God said, I'm going to pour out of my spirit. I'm going to bless this people. I'm going to move upon this land. I'm going to move upon the earth because in a little bit of time, I'm going to pull my people out of the earth. I'm going to pull them out, and I'm going to let the devil have it for 7 years. It's all set up. Every bit of it is set up. If you watch any kind of news or any kind of, you know, it's time. And God said, before that time, I'm going to pour out. I'm going to bless. I'm going to move because I want to save everyone. There will be those that say, nah, I don't believe any of it. And then when they see the rain coming, like in Noah's time, when they see the rain coming, oh, I got to get on the ark. But the church of God will have been gone. And there will be no more. It's us that have to tell them now, it's time for your salvation. It's time for you to receive what you've never received before. You may go to church and you may sit there and not understand, but God's going to move. A young man in Guatemala, the best painter in Guatemala, his name is Freddy Socop. I met him when he was 15 years old. I've been talking to him every time. He's about 30 now. He teaches English, and believe me, his English is about as good as my Spanish. But last year, I said, come and visit me at the house. Come and stay. So I had him come and stay at the house, and it was like, you know, what's going on, you know, just, and then I got a chance to sit down and talk to him. And I got a chance to tell him what God is doing and the marvelous thing that God's doing. Some churches, you know, are really dead when you go. And I'm talking to him and I'm telling him, and tears are streaming down his eyes. He wants more. I visited him a couple times this year. November, he's coming back to the house. This past week, he finished seminary from the Seventh-day Adventist. But he wants more. Because this is the time when God's getting ready to pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. When he comes back, I expect God to move upon him. And I expect something fantastic to happen in his life. A couple months ago, a young man went to school with my son, Josue. I've adopted several, so Josue is, he's actually Guatemalan. He comes to me and says, Dad, my friend Victor has had some problems. His father went to prison, and he's got no place to live. He's living on the street. He said, can he come and stay here? I said, well, let me talk to him first. I brought him to the house, and we talked to Victor. And we said, well, Victor, we'll give you a chance. We'll let you stay for a little while. And if there's any problems, we're going to have to let you go. But come and stay, and we'll see what happens. Sunday nights, we have a group in the house where we mentor some young pastors that are future pastors. And we're getting ready to move and let God move and send them out to different places. And Sunday night, we had this going on, and all of a sudden, God says, talk to Victor. And I started talking to Victor, not knowing this young man. First Sunday in the house, after several days, hadn't had a chance to really get to know him, and started telling him about his life. And he's shocked. And the other young men are saying, wait a minute, this is not something we're used to. We're not used to God telling somebody what's in their heart and what's in their life and God moving. Victor is a songwriter. He's got songs on YouTube. He wrote the songs. He sings the songs. He produces the music video. He's really, really good. God brought him there because God wants to write him to write a song, a Christian song. You're going to see it in one day. But God's going to been moving on his heart and his life. There's reasons people come into your life, but God's going to move, not just one or two. And these people are set in there so they can touch thousands. You're here not so you can touch your neighbor, but so you can touch thousands. Pastor George, you would be so excited if every one of these in here had to leave and start their own church of 1,000 people. I'm excited because God's got something so great and so marvelous that he's getting ready to do, and that he's starting to do, and that he's moving upon us to do. I'm just, you don't know. If you, what the one prophets say, God, open the servant's eyes so they can see what is the thing that's there ready to happen. I paraphrase a little bit, not exact words, okay? You have to understand, when they printed the King James Version, they translated it, which means that they didn't put it in the exact same words. They put it in so you could understand what the thing was saying. Because, I mean, if I translate word for word what is in Spanish, I'm going like, what in the world is this? But you have to translate what is the power in the presence of it, what God has wanted to deliver to us. God says, I will pour out of my spirit in the last days upon all flesh. And right now, he says, this is the seventh time. You're going to see a revival. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. Get ready. You're going to see it. Get ready and walk and run and tell the king, and get on the chariot and tell the king. The chariot went slow, but Elijah ran past the chariot because he knew what God said, that the rain is coming and it's going to be a gully washer. It's going to move mountains.
Song that we used to sing years ago. It says, I feel the rain falling down on me. The former and the latter rain together, and I'm not talking about the weather. I feel the rain falling on me, but I am so thankful for Joe and his friendship and his ministry. God always restores what the enemy tries to steal. You know, when Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, comes down and Aaron decided to build the little golden calf at the bottom of the mountain. Scripture says that about 3,000 people died that day. But then, a few years later, by a few I mean a lot of years later, we have the book of Acts that took place in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 received the Spirit of the living God. God always restores what the enemy tries to steal. Always. And we know the enemy comes to steal, kill, destroy. But he came to give life and that more abundantly. So I'm looking forward to what God's doing. I love what God's already done. But there's so much more that he wants to do. Amen. So let's sing the song in closing, whatever song you're singing. On the thing. Father, you said you'd make us fishers of men. Lord, your word said that some water, some plant, but you give the increase. Lord, let us walk according to your plans. Lord, let us plant water, God, and you just increase your kingdom as you see fit. Bring those that need to have an encounter with you, God, to your kingdom. Let us be a small part, big part of whatever part you want, God. Let us be a part of what you have in store. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory, all the praise, for you are worthy of it all. But use us, help us partner with you, God, the way that we can to see your will be manifested, to see your will come to pass. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.